Good morning. I'd like to welcome each of you here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's such a great day. I'm thankful to our God. This hymn that our brother and sister just played on Wednesday night, I was so hoping to be able to hear it, and we didn't sing it or play it or anything. This is one of my favorite hymns in the whole hymnal. And a lot of that has to do with the words of the refrain. It says, "Our dear God, we thank thee for thy Son, for the love that thou hast shown to us, and for all the blessings thou hast given. We are thankful of this love for us." And truly, God loves us. I have to be honest, I was really struggling with this sermon this weekend. I gave it more time than I usually give sermons. And I felt like God wasn't talking to me. And so I went to Young People's last night and asked for administration, and I received a blessing. And this hymn that our brother and sister played this morning was a confirmation to me of God's love for me. And he loves each of us that much. And so I'm thankful, because I know he'll answer my prayer, that I'll be able to deliver the sermon that he's given to me today, because he's that good and he loves us that much. So the title of this sermon is Your Testimony. And I received a confirmation that this was the subject, even though I struggled all weekend with it, because of our Sunday school class this morning. And our very last, one of the very last statements our brother Gary said this morning, I had time to get it on this slide, was the subtitle. It is up to all of us to be ready to witness of the truth. And that's really what this sermon is all about. So the sermon is entitled Your Testimony, Your Witness of the Truth. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, testimony is defined as a solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. And so, what did our brother Gary say? It is up to all of us to be ready to witness of the truth. Our testimony is that witness, that declaration, telling people about the truth of God's word. Another definition of testimony is the word of God or the scriptures. That's God's testimony of the truth. The word of God is the testimony of the Lord. In Exodus 25:16, we also talked about this in Sunday school this morning. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, it says, "And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone, like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in mine hand. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me." And this morning I learned a lot about this ark and about the importance of reverence toward this word of God and how people died because they didn't keep the commandments of God concerning it. And it is important that we take with reverence God's word that he's given to us, that many have died to preserve for us. God's testimony is sure. It is perfect. In Psalm 19:7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, the book of the Revelation, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness," a witness is one who testifies, "Jesus is the faithful witness, whose testimony is true." So if we are to testify, our testimony won't be any good unless it is based on Christ's testimony, his word, his words. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 23, it says, "And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. And John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." So John was declaring here, testifying, that which Christ had received was from heaven. "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is earth is of earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony." And John here is talking about that there were very few that received the testimony of Christ, that believed his word. "He that hath received his word hath set to his seal that God is true." Once again, the testimony of the Lord is converting. It's true, it's perfect, and it converts the soul. Verse 34, "And he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not spirit by measure unto him." In other words, it's without measure, the Spirit of God that Christ had. "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall... believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And this is the importance of believing God's word, of feasting upon it, of knowing it daily. that you may believe it and let it have its effect in you, that you can witness of him. Hebrews chapter 12, going back to this, the importance of reverence toward God's word, respecting it for what it is and its purpose in our lives, and feasting upon it, not taking it for granted. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. The words that Christ has spoken and will speak in the future are powerful, and we need to respect them and feast upon them and follow them. Your testimony is an affirmation. It's a position declared as true. You're speaking the truth if your testimony is based on God's testimony, on his word. When I affirm something, I am stating that it is true. When I give my testimony, I am affirming that God is true and that his word is true. Our testimony should not only be in our words, but it should be in our choices, in our thoughts, as our brother Trevor spoke this morning. His word should be on our mind. It should be in our heart. It should dictate our decisions and choices. Your testimony tells the story of what the living God has done in your life, how he has changed your life. Your testimony can also be your actions. I'm thinking of the people of Anti-Nephi Lehi, and I'm going to read about their testimony. It's found in Alma chapter 14, beginning in verse 23. Alma chapter 14, beginning in verse 23. Now the king conferred, and before we start, Alma and his brothers had spent 14 years in the land of the Lamanites. You see, prior to their conversion, Ammon, and his brothers, the sons of Mosiah, King Mosiah, they had spent their youth rebelling against God, along with Alma, the son of Alma. And they persecuted the church. And out of God's grace and his love towards them, as he loves you and I, he gave them an opportunity to repent and gave them a powerful experience. And because of that great love, they recognized they were the very vilest of sinners. And yet God, in his great love for them, offered them the opportunity to be forgiven and to have eternal life. And them knowing how great a love, and that love, them receiving that love within themselves and allowing it to have effect in their hearts, they began to love others, and they loved the Lamanites, who were the sworn enemies of the Nephites, who threatened any Nephite that came in their land with death. They were willing to give up their lives, if it so be, that these Lamanites, who were vile to the Nephites, might have an opportunity of salvation, might come to know that sweet love of our Savior. And so they went and spent 14 years and suffered, especially the brothers of Ammon, suffered greatly, physically, for that testimony. And so they made that sacrifice, and they received fruit because of it. Many souls were converted, and some of those that were converted were this people of Anti-Nephi-Lehi. Anti-Nephi-Lehi was a king, and so these people were his kingdom. And I'm going to read about them now and their testimony. That was a result of Ammon and his brother's testimony. Verse 23, now the king conferred the kingdom upon his son, and he called the name Anti-Nephi-Lehi. And the king died in that same year that the Lamanites began to make preparations for war against the people of God. Now when Ammon and his brethren and all those which had come up with him saw the preparations of the Lamanites to destroy their brethren, they came forth to the land of Midian. And there Ammon met all his brethren. And from thence they came to the land of Ishmael, that they might hold a council with Lamoni, and also with his brother Anti-Nephi-Lehi, that they should do what they should do to defend themselves against the Lamanites. Now there was not one soul among all the people which had been converted unto the Lord that would take up arms against their brethren. So one soul of these people of the Anti-Nephi-Lehis. Other people would be willing to, but they were not. And let's find out why. They were not willing to defend themselves. Verse 27. Now there was not one soul among all the people which had been converted unto the Lord that would take up arms against their brethren. Nay, they would not even make any preparations for war. Yea, and also their king commanded them that they should not. Now these are the words which he said unto the people concerning the matter. I thank my God, my beloved people, that our great God has in goodness sent these our brethren, the Nephites, unto us to preach unto us and to convince us of the traditions of our wicked fathers. And behold, I thank my great God that he has given us a portion of his Spirit to soften our hearts, that we have opened a correspondence with these brethren, the Nephites. And behold, I also thank my God that by opening this correspondence, we have been convinced of our sins and of the many murders which we have committed. And I also thank my God, yea, my great God, that he hath granted unto us that we might repent of these things, and also that he hath given us of those our many sins and murders which forgiven us, of those our many sins and murders which we have committed, and took away the guilt from our hearts through the merits of his Son. And now behold, my brethren, since it has been all that we can do, as we were the most lost of all mankind, to repent of all our sins and many murders which we have committed, and to get God to take away them away from our hearts, for it was all we could do to repent sufficiently before God, that he would take away our stains. Now, my best beloved brethren, since God hath taken away our stains and our swords have become bright, then let us stain our swords no more with the blood of our brethren. Behold, I say unto you, nay, let us retain our swords, that they be not stained with the blood of our brethren. For perhaps if we should stain our swords again, they can no more be washed bright through the blood of the Son of our great God, which shall be shed for the atonement of our sins. And the great God has had mercy on us and made these things known unto us, that we might not perish. Yea, and he hath made these things known unto us beforehand, because he loveth our souls as well as he loveth our children. Therefore, in his mercy, he doth visit us by his angels, that the plan of salvation might be made known unto us as well as unto future generations. Oh, how merciful is our God! And now, behold, since it has been as much as we could do to get our stains taken away from us and our swords are made bright, let us hide them away, that they may be kept bright as a testimony of our God at the last day. As a testimony to our God at the last day. That was their testimony. This choice, this act of hiding their swords away. Let us hide them away, that they may be kept bright as a testimony to our God at the last day, and at the day that we shall be brought to stand before him to be judged, and that we have not stained our swords in the blood of our brethren, since he imparted his word unto us and has made us clean thereby. And now, my brethren, if our brethren seek to destroy us, behold, we will hide away our swords, yea, even we will bury them deep in the earth, that they may be kept bright as a testimony that we have never used them at the last day. And if our brethren destroy us, behold, we shall go to our God and shall be saved. And now it came to pass that when the king had made an end of these sayings, and all the people were assembled together, they took their swords and all the weapons which were used for the shedding of man's blood, and they did bury them deep in the earth. This they did, it being in their view a testimony to God and also to men, that they never would use weapons again for the shedding of man's blood. And this they did, vouching and covenanting with God, that rather than to shed the blood of their brethren, they would give up their own lives. And rather than take away from a brother, they would give unto him. And rather than spend their days in idleness, they would labor abundantly with their hands. And thus we see that when these Lamanites were brought to believe and to know the truth, that they were firm and would suffer even unto death, rather than to commit sin. They were converted to the truth, and they feared to sin. That was the reason for their choice and their testimony. And that testimony was to men too, that they would be an example to others. And thus we see that when the Lamanites were brought to believe and to know the truth, that they were firm and would suffer even unto death rather than to commit sin. And thus we see that they buried the weapons of peace and they buried the weapons of war for peace. And it came to pass that their brethren, the Lamanites, made preparations for war and came up to the land of Nephi for the purpose of destroying the king and to place another in his stead, and also of destroying the people of Anti-Nephi Lehi out of the land. And it came to pass that when the people saw that they were coming against them, they went out to meet them and prostrated themselves before them to the earth. They laid their bodies down before the Lamanites, their brethren, and began to call on the name of the Lord. And thus they were in this attitude when the Lamanites began to fall upon them and began to slay them with the sword. And thus, without meeting any resistance, they did slay 1,005 of them. And we know that they are blessed, for they have gone to dwell with their God. Now, when the Lamanites saw that their brethren would not flee from the sword, neither would they turn aside to the right hand or to the left, but that they would lay down and perish and praise God even in the very act of perishing under the sword. Now, when the Lamanites saw this, they did forbear from slaying them. And there were many whose hearts had swollen in them for those of their brethren who had fallen under the sword, for they repented of the things which they had done. And it came to pass that they threw down their weapons of war, and they would not take them again, for they were stung for the murders which they had committed. And they came down even as their brethren, relying upon the mercy of those whose arms were lifted to slay them. And it came to pass that the people of God were joined that day by more than the number which had been slain, and those which had been slain were righteous people. Therefore, we have no reason to doubt but that they were saved. And there was not a wicked man slain among them, but there were more than 1,000 brought to the knowledge of the truth. Thus we see that the Lord worketh in many ways to the salvation of his people. And that is what your testimony can do. If it's based on God's testimony, and if you allow his Spirit to work in you, he may use you in some way that you had no idea. And if it's to your death, then praise be to God, because you will go to be with him. Your testimony. Baptism is a testimony. In Mosiah chapter 9, verse 43, it says, "And now it came to pass that Alma took Helam, he being one of the first, and went and stood forth in the water and cried, saying, O Lord, pour out thy spirit upon thy servant, that he may do this work with holiness of heart. And when he had said these words, the spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he said, Helam, I baptize thee, having authority from the Almighty God, as a testimony that ye have entered into a covenant to serve him until you are dead." And we do the same thing in Moroni. It says that we have a determination to serve Christ to the end. And that baptism is a testimony that we are willing to do that, to serve Christ to the end of our lives. And verse 44 again, "And when he had said these words, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he said, Helam, I baptize thee, having authority from the Almighty God, as a testimony that ye have entered into a covenant to serve him until you are dead, as to the mortal body, and may the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon you, and may he grant unto you eternal life through the redemption of Christ, which he hath prepared from the foundation of the world. And after Alma had said these words, both Alma and Helam were buried in the water, and they arose and came forth out of the water rejoicing, being filled with the Spirit. And so if you are willing to offer that testimony, if you're willing to repent of all your sins and commit to serving Christ till the end of your life, you can offer that testimony by going into the waters of baptism. And his promise to you is that you'll have his Spirit to fulfill his will the rest of your life, to be able to give you that opportunity to serve him your life, for the rest of your life till you're dead. Third book of Nephi, chapter 3, verse 68 and 69 also talks about that testimony. Third book of Nephi, chapter 3, verse 68 and 69. Now, I would have you remember, and that there be none, and that there were none that were brought unto repentance who were not baptized with water. So those who were brought unto repentance were baptized with water. Therefore, there were ordained of Nephi men unto the ministry, that all such as should come unto them should be baptized with water, and this as a witness and a testimony before God unto the people that they had repented and received a remission of their sins. And Moroni chapter 6 also talks about that baptism is witnessing to the church that you have repented of your sins, that you have received a remission of your sins. Partaking of the sacrament is also a testimony. Third book of Nephi, chapter 8, beginning in verse 33. And this shall ye always observe to do, even as I have done, even as I have broken bread and blessed it and gave it unto you. And this is Christ who did this, and who said this. And this shall ye do in remembrance of my body, which I have shewn unto you, and it shall be a testimony unto the Father, that ye do always remember me. And if ye do always remember me, ye shall have my Spirit to be with you. So remember that. When you partake of the bread and the wine, that this is in all reverence a testimony unto the Father that you're going to remember his Son in your choices and in your decisions. You're going to remember his word, his testimony. You're going to feast on it. So remember that you're making that testimony to God, and it's a solemn declaration to God you're making, that you are going to remember his Son. Your testimony. People need to hear your testimony. You are a witness of the love of God, just like Ammon and his brothers were to the Lamanites. They were a witness of the love of God. the sacrifice they made was based on the love of God that they felt in their hearts. And they witnessed that love to the Lamanites, and that there was evidence of that by their testimony, their decision to not take up against their brother so that they would not commit sin. The love of God was evident in their lives, in their testimony. People need to hear your testimony. People need to know about your testimony. The untold testimony. I want you all to think about this. What would have happened if Ammon and his brothers did not testify of the goodness of God? Well, I'm going to read about what happened because they did. But as we're reading about that, imagine had they not gone to the land of the Lamanites. Imagine when they were depressed in the wilderness. They were depressed, by the way. At the beginning of their journey, they were depressed. And they cried out to God, and they fasted and prayed. And he gave them the confidence and his spirit as a guide to face what was ahead of them. And so in Alma chapter 14, verse 79, let's read what was the result that they told their testimony, that they lived their testimony, that they shared that love of Christ with others. Alma chapter 14, verse 79. And now, these are the words of Ammon to his brethren, which saith thus, My brothers and my brethren, behold, I say unto you, how great reason have we to rejoice? For could we have supposed that when we started in the land of Zarahemla, that God would have granted unto us such great blessings? And now I ask, what great blessings hath he bestowed upon us? Can ye tell? Behold, I answer for you, for our brethren, the Lamanites, were in darkness, yea, even in the darkest abyss. But behold, how many of them are brought to behold the marvelous light of God? And this is the blessing which hath been bestowed upon us, that we have been made instruments in the hands of God to bring about this great work. Behold, thousands of them do rejoice and have been brought into the fold of God. Behold, the field was ripe, and blessed are ye, for ye did thrust in the sickle and did reap with your mights. Yea, all the day long did ye labor. And behold, the number of your sheaves, and they were gathered into the garners, that they were not wasted. Yea, they shall not be beaten down by the storm at the last day. Yea, neither shall they be harrowed up by the whirlwinds. But when the storm cometh, they shall be gathered together in their place that the storm cannot penetrate to them. Yea, neither shall they be driven with fierce winds whithersoever the enemy listeth to carry them. But behold, they are in the hands of the Lord of the harvest, and they are his. And he will raise them up at the last day. Blessed be the name of our God. Let us sing to his praise. Yea, let us give thanks to his holy name. For he doth work righteousness forever. For if we had not come up out of the land of Zarahemla, these are dearly beloved brethren, which have so dearly beloved us, would still have been racked with hatred against us. Yea, and they would also have been strangers to God. And it came to pass that when Ammon had said these words, his brother Aaron rebuked him, saying, Ammon, I fear that thy joy doth carry thee away unto boasting. But Ammon saith unto him, I do not boast in my own strength or in my own wisdom. But behold, my joy is full. Yea, my heart is brim with joy, and I will rejoice in my God. Yea, I know that I am nothing. As to my strength, I am weak. Therefore, I will not boast of myself, but I will boast of my God. For in his strength I can do all things. Yea, behold, many mighty miracles we have wrought in this land, for which we will praise his name forever. Behold, how many thousands of our brethren hath he loosed from the pains of hell, and they are brought to sing redeeming love, and this because of the power of his word, which is in us. Therefore, have we not reason to rejoice? And I just want to stop there and notate that. This because of the power of his word, which is in us. And that is his testimony. That's the testimony of God in you and I that can affect great words, works, great miracles, great words, can affect his will in our lives and in our testimony. Verse 94, yea, we have reason to praise him forever, for he is the Most High God and has loosed our brethren from the chains of hell. Yea, they were encircled about with everlasting darkness and destruction, but behold, he hath brought them into his everlasting light. Yea, dangers to God. So I want to bring this to our time. We discussed in Sunday school this morning that we're faced with a nation that hates God. Many, many, many don't, but many do. And we were talking about this. What does repentance look like? But, you know, we have a role in this. Our brother Gary mentioned it this morning, that we be ready to witness of the love of God. And we just heard about some people who were depressed at the beginning of their journey. They were depressed, but they cried out to God. They fasted and prayed. They did what he told, his word, his testimony tells us to do. They did it. And as a result, they were able to give him the glory because he turned a nation. He turned a nation to him. Through them, they were instruments in his hands. So imagine what God has planned for you. Imagine. He has a testimony for you to tell, for you to live. You don't know what it is. Our brother Sean talks about praying in the morning. What do you want me to do? God reveals it to him. What is that testimony? That if it remained untold, what will be the consequence? Someone's soul continuing in hatred. Second Timothy 1 verse, chapter 1 verse 8 says, Be not thou, therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be willing, as were Ammon and his brothers, to sacrifice. But in the end, it's not a sacrifice, because you see, they were so full of joy. They'd lived the life that they were purposed to live, that God planned for them to live. And he has a plan for you and I to do the same. That's why we've heard his word. That's why his testimony has pierced our hearts, so that we can now offer our testimony of him. So you have a homework assignment. study the testimony of Christ. Christ's words. You know, in the Old Testament, the testimony of God were the Ten Commandments. In the New Testament, they're Christ's words, what he said. That is the testimony of God. He is the Word made flesh. Study the testimony of Christ at least 15 minutes each morning. At least. You can study an hour. And allow that word to make that testimony of God to have effect in your heart, to repent of your sins, to turn from them, and allow that faith to well up, to grow in Christ, that he can use you. Then pray to God that he would use you to witness for him, that he'd guide you to whoever you want him, to whoever he wants you to witness to. And then three, testify to at least one person this week, somehow, with words, with your life, somehow, whatever way that it is that God reveals to you. And that's your assignment. I'm so thankful for the testimony, God's testimony in my life. One other thing I want to say. We have an enemy that when we go to do God's work, when we go to give our testimony, he's battling the whole way. That's why they were depressed, Ammon and his brothers, at the beginning of this journey, because they had an enemy who didn't want the conversion of those thousands of souls. And we have an enemy who doesn't want us to tell our neighbor, tell our coworker, tell our children, tell our parents about Christ and his testimony. May God be with you.